There are three words that every human being wants to hear, and they would be?
I love you.
Yeah, you're good.
There are three words that I think every human being might be fearful of hearing, and those words would be, prepare for impact. Impact is that moment where you have these two opposing forces. They come against each other, and for a moment they're one. And they wrestle together, and they fight together, and then the outcome is that one of the forces moves on. And it remains unchanged by the impact, the collision moment that it had. And it leaves behind another type of impact, another force that's forever changed by the impact of the force that was before it. By the time you hear those words, prepare for impact, it's usually a little too late in the process. You know that the opposing force that is coming, it is inevitable, it is unstoppable, and ultimately then it is uncontrollable. We've witnessed this in the world, have we not? In particular, we're witnessing this in our nation, in the United States. We have watched as Hurricane Harvey, as water came against land, these two opposing forces, and what happens is that the hurricane hits. And then show me the hurricane. It's in some ways this invisible force that happens in a moment and then it moves on and it's like, but where's the hurricane now? Well, it doesn't exist. And so how do I know that it exists? Well, you go and look at the other force that came against and the impact that was left behind. We're watching as an earthquake happened in Mexico. There are events that happen to nations outside of the United States. You know this, right? Earthquake happened in Mexico this week. Show me the earthquake. Well, it's happened and it's gone. These two forces came against each other and they were together in a moment. But when they separated, the earthquake moved on and it was unchanged. But what's left is just devastation and poverty and trying to fix all of it. We're waiting news even this morning of all that has happened in the world. We're going to pray for that later on in our service. But we're watching it happen again. We're watching wildfires happen in Montana and out west. And what will happen is that eventually the last flame will go out and we'll ask to see the fire and the fire will be gone. But these two opposing forces, they were together as one. And if you want to see evidence that the fire existed, you just go and see the impact that it left behind. But all of these are the negative side of impact when we think about impact. Maybe that's not where your mind goes. That's where my mind goes first, is just all these devastating events that are happening and the impact that's left behind. But I think there's another impact that perhaps we should talk about. And I think that's you. You may not know this, or you may have known it and forgot about it, but you are an impact. You are making an impact. And it's an impact that you may never know about. You see, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, there's two things that happen. First, at some point in your life, you recognize that sin came into your life. And when sin came in as an act, it was a moment that sin came against you, and you wrestled together for a moment, and an act was committed, and sin moves on. The action remains, if you don't stand, but we look back and we feel guilty, don't we? We feel shame over the sin. Anybody? Okay. All right. Making sure we're there. And what happens is then Christ comes, He intervenes into this opposing force, and He comes in and the Spirit of the living God falls on us and in us. And all of a sudden what happens is you have this opposing force that enters into your life, and there was a moment in time that He changes everything. And if you want evidence that God exists, that an invisible force in the world named Jesus Christ moves and works, all you have to do is look at the impact that's left behind. That's you and me. You are an impact. You are an impactful person. Because the Bible says that when we come to believe that the Spirit of the living God comes and lives in us, and the Spirit of the living God who lives in us is the very same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, and that tells me then that the Spirit that lives in you and the kind of impact that you have and I have in the world is that nothing, including death or evil or tragedy or national disasters, none of that can stop us. Because of the force, the invisible force of the living God who lives in you. Man, I'm going to have to work harder than that. It's a shame that the only time we talk about impact is when hurricanes happen and tornadoes happen and mass tragedies happen, because we talk about how this invisible force of evil comes up and it meets in a moment and it leaves this devastating impact. It's a shame that there's not some other movement in the world where there's this invisible force that lives and resides, and the kind of impact that it leaves is not that of tragedy but that of triumph and hope. It's a shame that God didn't create a place where a group of people who contain this power gather together and He unleashed them into the world. Because Jesus said that on this rock, on the profession of faith that Jesus Christ is Lord, I will build my church and the gates of hell will overcome it. He said, all authority on heaven and earth has been given unto me, and I'm going to leave and go to heaven, so I'm just going to give it to you. That means nothing we come against in this life can change us. Instead, when it meets the force that's in us, the force has to move it out. Amen. You are an impactful person. You may not believe it. You may have given up hope. You may feel like you're not at that place. I just want to remind you that if you are a child of God, you are an impactful person, because there's an invisible force living in you. And every person you come into contact with is impacted by that force that moves and works in the world. So the question is, how do we do it? How do we become impactful people? How do we focus in on this? Well, Deuteronomy chapter 6 tells us, it tells us that these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your heart. I'm going to give you something that's so profound and so powerful that you're going to think that it's not true because it's actually so simple. You know the most impactful way you can make an impact? Man, I'm not going to do this. You're going to be like, oh, man, we should have come home. Prayer, showing up, all of that ties into one thing. I've had all week to think about it. You've not. That's okay. Being obedient to the commandments of God. These commandments that I give you today, they are to beat upon your heart. Your obedience is impactful because the commands in which we follow are impactful. Now let me work on this. Commandments, when we think about commandments, what do you think of?
The Ten Commandments.
And that's true, that's included here. But the word commandment suggests that it's any command that God might give you. If you have time this week or you're not in a Bible plan right now, I encourage you to read the book of Deuteronomy and read as much of it as you can. And there's a phrase that you will encounter. Here's what it says. Be careful not to forget the Lord your God. The children of Israel, they were camped on the side of the Jordan River. They're getting ready to go into the promised land. Moses is giving this last speech, and he says, this one thing you do, do not forget the Lord your God. And every time it says, do not forget the Lord your God, it tells them to follow the commands of the Lord. Don't turn to the right, left, whichever way. Don't move from them. Don't add anything to them. Don't subtract to them. But follow the commands of God. Because the commands of God are impactful. The word command actually means it's like a charge. A military leader will give the infantry his troops, his or her troops, commands on how to win the battle. It's a battle plan. We have this wrong idea that when God is telling us to do something or not to do something, that it's just this rule that it's like, oh no, get your hand in the cookie jar and I'm going to smack you out of it. But it's more of like these charges of faith. That God is saying, remember last week, that I'm a God you can trust because I love you. We talked about that. And because you can trust me, every time I command you to do something, it's a charge of faith of saying, I trust you. I trust what you're asking me to do because I know that you have a battle plan for this thing. So these commandments that He gives us, do not forget the Lord your God by following his commandments. They live in a place. So these commandments are outward obedience. They're how we live it out. But there's an inner working to that outward obedience. Because these commandments, these charges of faith, these instructions are to be where? Upon your heart. So commandments are outward obedience, but there's something that's happening in the heart that makes what's happening outside of the heart impactful. If you follow all throughout Deuteronomy, God seems more concerned about obedience from the heart than he does outward obedience. When Moses is recounting all that Israel has gone through in Deuteronomy chapters 1 and 2, he talks about how an entire generation of people died in the wilderness and they wouldn't inherit the promised land. And he was included in that group. But there was one person from that generation who would, and his name was Caleb. And the reason that he received the promise and went into the promised land is because the Bible says that he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. So there's something about not just an outward obedience, but there's something about having this outward obedience that's the result of an inner working of the heart. Elsewhere you'll see he recounts in Deuteronomy chapter 5 about the Ten Commandments. And afterwards he talks about how they received the Ten Commandments and that they were at the foot of the mountain, but God was on top of the mountain and fire was blazing and they heard an audible voice and God began to speak. And he gave the commandments and Moses came down with the commandments and here's what the point of all of that. So that they would hear the Lord, that they would fear him, and that their hearts would be inclined to follow him. So the commandments are more than just this outward obedience, but there's something about an inner working of the heart. He goes on in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and he talks about why he took the children of Israel in the wilderness for 40 years. It was not just because of their disobedience. It was because he was testing them. This is what it says. You can look it up. Deuteronomy 8, 2 and 3. To see what was in their heart. Why? To see if they would follow his commandments. So how do we make an impact? We're obedient, but it's not just this outward obedience. Here's what obedience is. Obedience is an outward work of an inner working. Obedience is an outward work of an inner working. James says, faith without works is what?
Dead.
Because work is the outward work, and faith is the inner working. So the way that you and I make an impact, watch this, is that we're obedient in our outward works because of an inner working. And when we do this, we make an impact on our nation and in our homes. I know you wouldn't believe me, so you can just read it for yourself. You read in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, that they're to be obedient in the promised land because nations will take notice of their obedience. They will talk about the God who has come near to them because all the other nations served gods who were far away. That's why they were idols. They never spoke, they never moved, they never did anything. They were worthless. But here's the God of Israel, who would come near to them, and because of their obedience, they would see that this is a God whose laws are righteous. In other words, there are people in the world who always do right. And the world may not be interested in our righteousness because it is in fact His living in us. But they will be impressed with people who know and do the right thing in the right situation. And it says the nations will take notice. That's impactful. Why? When one person is being obedient because they have outward work of an inner obedience. I'm just trying to prove to you that you're impactful. Are you obedient to the best of your ability as much as you can every day? Do you fail? Sure, we all do. That's why we gather here. If you stop failing, you don't have to come to church anymore. Okay? Fair? Yeah. But to the best of our ability, every day, we strive to be obedient. And the Bible says that when we're obedient, when the people of God are obedient, nations will take notice. And when the people of God are obedient, children will take notice. different places throughout Deuteronomy, but the one I'm mentioning comes from Deuteronomy 6, verses 20 and 21. The children someday. God says, and when your son asks you, why do you observe this? Translation, why are you obedient? Why do you follow the command? If you read what it says, it's not because the Bible says so. It's not because God is God and He's going to punish you if you don't follow Him. You know what it says? When your son asks you why you're obedient to the Lord your God, here's what you tell him. Not of the outward work, but of the inner work. You tell them that because you were slaves in Egypt, that God moved out of heaven and He moved His mighty right hand to you and touched you and delivered you out. That's why we're obedient. See, here's where we get caught. If you're around church long enough, you get really good at the outward obedience. Because there's enough that we're not obedient about that we just kind of shove in the corner, you know, when you're cleaning and you don't feel like getting all the ends up, you just kind of shove it in. I don't do that. And you just kind of push it away where nobody can see it. We're really good at that. And we're really good at the outward obedience part. But I want to tell you that if we have outward obedience without an inner working of faith, the outward obedience is worthless. We lose our impact in the world. And the place that Satan will attack you and I is not the outward obedience. He wants us to look Christian and think we're Christian, but what he'll do is he'll cause there to be a disconnect in the inner working and the outward work. And I can prove it. Because do you know where we get the command of God? Not a trick question. The Word of God. So sometimes the commands that God gives you and the commands that God gives me, sometimes they're not always in the Word of God. Sometimes He will tell us and convict us very clearly to get off our hind end and go talk to our neighbor across the street. And when we do it, we better do it. If we don't do it, we're being disobedient to the commands of God. But there's nowhere in Scripture that says, thou shalt get off your and go and talk to your neighbor. So the commands God gives us, they are not just restricted to the Word of God, but they are dependent upon the Word of God. God will never call us to do something that's not in His Word. I was shortly out of high school, and an acquaintance from high school messaged me one time, and she said, we're talking about different things, and she talked about how her and her boyfriend, they were about to be engaged, decided God was telling them that it was time for them to start having children. And I said, are you going to get married? No. This is not a judgment. My question was that I was trying to point, lovingly point, is what does the Word say? Because He'll never ask us to do something that's not in the Word of God. We as Christians are good at this. We instead say, well, God's telling me to do this. God told me to tell you. Show me in there. Because everything He calls us to do will always be congruent on it. It may not be restricted to the black and white, because He's more than just words on a page. He is the Word of God living, and He speaks and commands us. And so the way that we find out and follow this outward obedience is having an inner working of faith. And Romans says, faith comes by hearing the Word of God. So here's what Satan will do. We think we'll make an impact, because we've heard this, by our outward obedience. So Satan will leave that baby alone. Here's what he does. He works on the inner working of obedience, so that we keep the outward obedience, thinking, oh, I'm good, I got this, I know the Christian thing to do. And he disconnects us from the Word of God and the commandments. When I was in high school, we had a club called Pizza with Jesus. I thought they should have came up with a more clever name, but that's okay. And this club was nothing more than we went in and had pizza. And that's why most of us went, because it's better than school cafeteria food. Even those of us who were in youth group and all that stuff, like the lesson part, yeah, good, whatever, pizza. And we just wanted to know, can we get a third slice instead of just two little squares? We're hungry. One of the lessons one time, I remember, they asked a question. They said, what keeps you, what's a detriment, what's something that hinders your relationship with God? And I said, time. And this was known to be a little bit of a judgmental club, and eventually most of the kids stopped attending it because of things like this. And the comment made back to me was, "That's an excuse, not a reason," and she went on. Now I'm a little more bold as I've gotten older, and I'm not as interjective a little bit now, but I just quietly kind of sat back and took me back. And I can say it is an excuse, but it's a hard time for me calling something an excuse that is a reality. It may be an excuse, but it's a present reality. That we don't have time for the Word of God. You have it. And if we're not hearing from the Word of God, we won't know what He's asking us to do. And if we don't know what He's asking us to do, we can't have outward obedience. So when we're keeping our outward obedience, but we're not in the Word of God, it just means nothing. It's just an appearance. So He works right here. And I think for all of us, it's about time. I heard Kathy stand right here last week. She talked about following a devotional through the valley. And my ears perked up because I knew what I was preaching about this. And she said, "I don't have time for Bible study." Now the old, well, just the way I was taught to think is, well, you need to make time for Bible study. Well, here's the thing. I'm just going to use Kathy as an example. You can tell her. I'd say yes, she would say yes. If I asked her for more time for Bible study, that means she has to give up less time someplace else. Joy, here's a chance. Turn to Moses. You all are witnesses. Ready? Is Kathy a good mother? Yeah. This is where you say yes. You heard it, right? Said yes?
Yep.
So if I ask her, "You need to give more time to the Bible study," then maybe it gives her less time being the mom that God wants her to be. If I tell her, "You need more time in Bible study," and she said this last week, one of her biggest struggles right now is work. So I'm telling her to take time away from work. Don't even interact with them sinners that you can't stand because you need to be in Bible study. The place where she might have the most impact, did you catch it? Obedience to the world and obedience in your own house. So I struggle with this. I had a friend message me on Monday night, and she came to church for a little bit here, and she's a nurse, and nurses have really cool schedules sometimes. So she decided she's going to work Saturday and Sunday and be a stay-at-home mom with her baby Monday through Friday. And I'm like, that's pretty good. Downside, can't come to church on Sunday. The old me, the way I'm taught, is, well, you need to get in church. But here's the thing. If I ask her to do that, then I'm asking her perhaps that she'll have less of an impact on her son that will only be small enough to be at home every day for a few more years because they start preschool really, really young. And I'm taking away from impact that she might have other places. Any of you feel this struggle?
Yep.
So I love Deuteronomy because here's the thing. Here's what I want you to know. You are an impactful person. And you can make an impact on people with your obedience when it's an outward work of an inner working, but you have to stay connected. So, I don't want to put anything more on your plate. Actually, Moses doesn't, and Deuteronomy doesn't. So how do you stay connected? It says, impress them upon your children. You know the way that parents of the Israelites taught the kids? Because they didn't have a Bible. Even if they had paper and could write, they just didn't have enough access. So here's what they did. They went to church. They went to the temple. They heard the priest read the scriptures. They memorized them and they recited them to their children. Okay. They go to the Word of God, the inner working, and they simply recite what God is doing in their life to their children. So, when it comes time to making an impact with people, just talk about what God's doing in your life. And what if one of the ways we could have impact is that the conversation that's happening in our homes is the same conversation that's happening in church on Sunday. So that, actually what happens is that the conversation you're having throughout the week leads up to Sunday, so that when your kids come, when you come, what you realize is, hey, they're saying what we've said all week. And you might even think, we don't even need them. Yes, probably. Because it's all from you to God. The conversation forms around it. Now, here's that. You talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you ride out, and when you get up. You want to know how to be impactful? Transition time. We can't add hours to our day. Most of us are vaxxed anyway. I'm not asking to rearrange your whole schedule. Sometimes that's needed. Here's what it says. Talk about them when you sit at home. When's the time that you most commonly are all sitting together? I'm going to take a guess. TV, dinner. Dinner. So when you're eating dinner, here's the beauty of it. If you're eating at home, if you're eating at a restaurant, if you're eating in the car, do something that's impactful, working with either the inner working of obedience or the outward. So some of us, at dinner time, it would be a great time to open the Word of God and read. It would be a great time to have some worship music going on in the background. It would be a great time to have something that enters into that transition moment. Because the only thing you're doing at the dinner table mostly is eating. So you're not going, you're not doing, you're just eating. When God speaks, when he's eating. You know, Jesus spent a lot of time eating meals. And we're going to eat in heaven. Praise God. So we should make our meal time a little bit of heaven on earth. Watch this. So when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, how many of you spend way too much time driving in your car? Some of you are already doing this. I'm just telling you, the most impactful thing you can do is use this time to focus on one or two areas, either the inner working of obedience or the outward work of obedience. One of two things. You can have on Christian music. It's hard to want to jump out the door and tell that person to move out of the way when you're singing a song about praising you. Yeah. It's a great time on your phones to download a sermon. Please don't download it online. You have to hear it once. Here's what you'll find. There are preachers, hundreds, thousands of them, that are a whole lot better than I am. And man, and it's a transition time. Because you're not doing, you're just in between where you've been and where you're going. You have kids in the car, this is when you make it in. You say, hey, how was your day? And you find out something didn't go well at school. The conversation you've been hearing at church and the conversation that you've been having in the Word of God, just input it. You can kind of like ease into it and just try to drop off and back away. Don't push it. It's almost like a ticking bomb. It's going to make a big impact. Just ease it. Be delicate. Even there. And let God be God. If you're in your car a lot by yourself, here's something to do. Call somebody. Encourage them. Invest in them. Find these transition times. There's two more. When you get up in the morning, when you go to bed. This should not replace this as the first thing in the morning or the last thing at night. It does to me. What if we spent that time doing something a little more productive? I'm not telling you not to have a bill on your phone and check it this time. But what if we just said, even like these transition times, there are times where I can focus on my relationship with God or I can pass it on to someplace else. throughout the book of Deuteronomy, there's a word that's so often used, it's consecrate. Consecrate yourselves for, and 3 days, usually it's 3 days, the Lord is going to do something great. He's going to defeat an enemy. He's going to take you to the promised land. 3 days, consecrate yourselves. That word consecrate can be tied in sometimes. A lot of language in the New Testament, but especially the Old, talks about circumcision of the heart. Circumcision means just to cut away. So this idea of consecrate, this idea of consecrating our hearts, circumcising our hearts, is to cut away anything that's not of Him. And set it all aside for a period of time so that God can do something impactful in your life and in the life of those friends. I'm convinced that God speaks to us more than we know, but there's too much stuff clogging up our lives that every now and then we have to cut it all aside. And saying, Spirit of the living God, would you speak to me? By the way, do you know how we speak to God? Prayer. Do you know how God speaks to us?
The Word of God.
So many times we're waiting to hear from God, and I'm like, He's already wrote a book on everything He wants us to say. And He will use in our conversation to Him and His conversation back to us. He will do something so impactful at the time of confirmation. You know what every act of obedience becomes? A domino effect. There's a movie, and you saw this part of it, I'm going to show it again in just a moment. A movie last year came out about collateral beauty. Did any of you see this movie? Powerful. Will Smith plays the main character, and he loses his daughter tragically, and you see him go through this stage where he was once married, and you don't know what happens until the end in that relationship. He's losing his business. All these things are falling apart because of what he's been through. But there's a scene that they visualize this picture. That all this time, there's been an invisible force working in his life. And it's had all these visible effects that we all can see. But eventually, things begin to turn. Because there's an invisible force that affects every moment and every thought and every deed. And eventually at the end, you see them all impacting one another.